chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive on mic. Just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage. And I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share. That same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch a scenario. My stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in, full time to the 10. I'm on my clock like I told you.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Anti-Media Radio, once again with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV, and I'm joined here by my co-host, DB Schwartz. How are you doing tonight, man? Okay, we're having a bit of tech difficulties
here. You
hear me? Okay, I can hear you now.
All right, man. Doing all right, man. Watching what's going on with Ukraine. I guess in a couple of days, all of a sudden, now there's new developments going on, and it looks like things are going to pop off, actually, despite what everybody thought, with maybe something would not happen. Well, nah, something's going to happen. They got the everybody knows they have their own Air Force One over there, also called the Doomsday Plane, and that thing's been in a nonstop rotation over there, and they don't pull that out for nothing, so.
I was down at the beach today, man. I went down and gave radiation. I'm sitting there on the beach, and this plane takes off. We're right there in Coronado, where there's this big base there. And man, this plane flies over. I don't know. It's like the biggest plane they got, dude. And it flew about 100 yards over top of me, and it was intimidating as all hell, to say the least.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I've been seeing those planes because I can see them from my house too when they're landing. I don't normally see them take off because apparently when they take off, they take off and then they fly out over the ocean, but I see them coming in all the time. And it's just, oh man, there's just very, very intimidating. Hey, we already got a call coming in. One sec. Let's see who's on the line. How's it going? You're on the Anti-Media Radio.
Hey, it's Joe from Louisville, Kentucky. How are you?
Pretty good, man.
How's
it going? What do you want to talk about?
I just wanted to chime in. I saw this on Facebook. I didn't know what the main sequence was, but I just wanted to say I hope you guys have success. Keep doing what you're doing. I've checked out the site a couple of times. So just want to ask, I guess, your listeners and yourselves what you would think. I live in Louisville, great city, but obviously there's a lot of partisan craziness here for Obama or the right. And even people who love Ron Paul, you know, who are libertarians like I am, but put him on a pedestal, you know, they gravitate toward their political beliefs. But I do hope that people that do listen who love libertarianism gravitate to learn more about voluntarism and pretty much how we are enslaved, paying taxes out of our pockets at the point of a gun. People don't get that. They think we live in a free country, but hopefully, you know, things change, mindsets change. It's going to take decades, but hopefully something will come to fruition. So just want to say take care and great show.
Awesome, man. Thanks for calling in. Yeah, you know, everything he was saying was right. You know, people are kind of radicalizing now just because the situation is getting so bad. And it's kind of the same reason why we get these people popping up as terrorists in the Middle East. It's because they get radicalized. And, you know, the American public is getting radicalized now because the economy is so bad. So we're getting driven into these left-right beliefs. And even, unfortunately, the people, a lot of the people that were following Ron Paul, you know, they're kind of you know, they kind of put this guy up on this pedestal like a hero. And unfortunately, as we all saw, the hero is going to let you down. And that's exactly what happened. They bowed out of the race, even though they still had a chance. And one thing I was going to quickly bring up about Ukraine is I saw a poll the other day that showed over 50% of people now believe that the U.S. needs to pull our asses out of all these foreign affairs.
We cannot win, Nick. We cannot win. You cannot win. You can't beat Russia and Russia. You can't do it. It's proven. Even if we use all our tech, you don't think they have tech. I mean, unless we're at a ridiculous level where we're going to be dropping gigantic robot soldiers or some crazy stuff no one knows about. We're not so far ahead where we can go in and invade them. See, it's invading them. Ukraine is on their border, so it's their territory, man. They know it front and back, and now they got insiders. I know you saw probably earlier today that there's a huge, more or less, kind of a riot. More or less 1,000 people had a fist fight, half pro-Russian, half pro-Ukrainian in Kiev. That's where it is now. It's in Kiev. Kiev's in the middle of the Ukraine. So like I said weeks ago, they'll cut it in half, one part to the west, one part to Russia. It becomes the buffer zone that Russia will be comfortable with, and then the banksters get half a country that's rich with a lot of resources.
Yeah, man, and I mean, this may be how they had wanted it to play out the whole time. Like I said, they're just carving up Ukraine. Half of it goes to the banksters, half of it goes to the Russian oligarchs. And everybody's happy. Well, I mean, you know, all the people in power are happy.
They're not happy, though, because they've been basically saying that Russia decided to not play ball. What they said was, we had China in our pocket, willing to go along with what we had to go into the new basically currency reset and the full implementation of the police state worldwide. But Russia decided no. Putin decided he couldn't trust what was going to happen. He trusted more in human beings than in technology or in even an ideology like the Chinese do. So fanatically, that they believe that this communist state can last perpetually, provided they put enough surveillance on their own people and enough people with guns around them. Well, eventually the people with the guns see what's going on and they turn against the other people telling them what to do. It happens time and time again.
Yeah, and this stuff. And this whole lead up here, man, and it's so reminiscent of World War One, where we had this powder keg over there in the same area in Serbia, and then now World War Two, where it was. Remember when Hitler and Stalin agreed to split up Eastern Europe, and then they distrusted each other so much that Hitler ended up just going and trying to invade Russia, and then they fought, and then they end up fighting each other instead of having it up like they had agreed. And I mean, we very well may be dealing with the same type of situation where they had initially said, "Hey, look, let's have this place up." And I mean, look at them—they're unarmed. We are responsible for disarming them. And now, guess what? We got ourselves into this entangling alliance, just like what started World War One. Just as I think it was Thomas Jefferson that, or one of these guys, Benjamin Franklin maybe, that said, hey, let's stay out of these entangling alliances and let's just make friends and trade with everybody, which was great advice. And unfortunately, the powers that be didn't learn anything from World War One and World War Two, and now they've got even more entangling alliances. So now, you know, according to this international law, which is unconstitutional, we're obligated to go in and protect Ukraine when Russia storms across the borders, which could happen any day now.
But who's going to run out of money first? Is it going to be the IMF or is it going to be Russia with absolutely enormously massive resources? People don't understand what Siberia is. Siberia is half of all of the world's usable resources, meaning stuff like heavy earth and rare earth metals and stuff that you can make with like tanks and planes and bombs and a lot of gas and natural gas. I mean, they're loaded. Timber, you name it. It's all right there. Well, and if they get China basically more or less to just back off and leave them to themselves, it's not going to be fun, man. It's not going to be a proxy war. It's not going to stay right there. It can't.
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, these guys aren't going to, like you were saying, they're not going to just back down like we thought they were, because just because Europe has so much reliance on Russia. Now, the only major country in Europe that really stands to defy Russia is probably Germany, because Germany has mostly solar power now, and they have some of their own gas reserves and stuff. So it may come back down to these lines that we've seen drawn in the past two world wars, where it's Germany that's one of the major players. And then you got Russia to the east, and of course you got us and England and the IMF on the west. And, you know, it's not shaping up to be pretty. Now, the American people, according to the polling numbers, are not interested in getting into this war. Now, that's not saying that it's not going to happen, because all we need is one big false flag, like we talked about a few weeks ago. One big false flag, and then everybody's a patriot. Everybody's down to fight. And everyone's ready to go kill for this stuff, just like they did after Pearl Harbor, just like they did after 9/11.
This is not Iraq. I mean, people maybe aren't going to get that. That we're fighting another superpower. This is a legitimate superpower. When the Great Wall fell, so to speak, when the Berlin Wall fell, it's not like they lost all their technology and all their money all of a sudden. The only thing that happened was they just went back onto a world market, and they actually got probably more powerful as a result of that. Stronger now. They don't hold as much land, but hey, they control all these eastern states more or less, or they just shove them around. So they're every bit as powerful as they were in the Soviet Union, and maybe more so now, because they've traded for who knows what from the Chinese, and the Chinese, of course, steal everything, you know what I mean? So they probably are not too far behind us. It's not going to be an Iraq situation at all, or Afghanistan.
Definitely not, man. And this kind of segues right into our main story tonight. And this is huge, and I'm sure you saw the news. It's kind of been ignored by the mainstream. A few outlets posted it. The funny thing is that all the articles that came out about it were highly misleading. But America has been the largest economy since 1879.
Wow!
And emerging out of World War I, we became the largest superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And after World War II, it was only us and Russia were the two superpowers.
Right.
Now, according to the World Bank, and they changed their formula about how they calculate the size of your economy. And according to the World Bank, by the end of the year, China is on track to become the world's largest economy. And that is just frightening.
Well, I mean, it's just sheer numbers. I mean, it's only – can I tell you – I'll tell you something that most people more or less probably – wouldn't really understand, which is that we don't really need people to make things anymore. They're a little cheaper than machines. That's why we still use them. And then it keeps people employed. So it stops like rebellions and stuff from going on. But right now, if we want to go all automated for more or less most of the things we use on a daily basis, they could. And so China's power, which is manpower, is not economic power much longer. I think more or less they're being propped up. And there's always been this prevailing theory that we, meaning our elite class, have propped them up in order to have another enemy to fight. Because without that, the wartime economy cannot continue. We would rather pick two superpowers off, Nick, than have 50 proxy wars worldwide. This is going to be an endless forever thing going on, and it's going to funnel money for like 30 more years into the military-industrial thing, man. It's for sure all planted.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't doubt that one bit. It's right out of the pages of 1984, where they just got to continue these wars so you can keep drawing the resources out of the people, keep the people running the rat race, and keep on having all these expenditures overseas so that nobody can ever get ahead in life. And that's the other thing that was brought up. And this article's on the Anti-Media. You guys can go check it out. It's a huge, huge story. And you know, the funny thing is the mainstream media, they're trying to blame this economy on this long snow, on this long winter that we had.
And you know, they may be right. It could have had a massive impact, but it wouldn't have done what's known as a losing of the number one spot, because it wasn't that big of a deal. It was huge. Now, what's going on now in the South could probably wipe out a lot of their economy with being rained out and being flooded in these absolutely epic floods. But what happened throughout the North and the Snowden stuff, I mean, Atlanta was kind of crazy, and the South got hit hard, but the North said, it was just kind of bad. That's ridiculous. It wasn't the economy is going to take hits from the changing environment anyway, and the changing weather. So why jump the gun and say it's happening now? That's just BS.
Yeah, man, and all of these countries are facing extreme weather. So, you know, the fact is that
everybody's harping everybody. I think it's been proven with people that show satellite imagery of how weather systems just will basically start out of nowhere. Like, they'll just have intense weather. It's not like anything's building up at sea anymore. Everybody's harping everybody.
this one that's hitting in the South right now is really weird. I don't know if you saw the satellite imagery, but it's like right there at the panhandle of Florida. There's just like a huge, and it just keeps appearing out of nowhere and just keeps pushing these clouds out. It's weird. It's not like it's coming from the sea. It's just appearing right there at the panhandle and just creating a ton of precipitation.
Yeah.
And I have some friends right now that are in South Florida, and they're like, what storm are you guys talking about? We're not being hit by it. Because it's just hitting that north side right by the panhandle, and then it's going and then it's hitting South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia, and all these places. And there's I believe it was like a foot of rain over 2 days. I mean, these are insane amounts, almost unheard of amounts. And now it was
possibly more, as much as an inch an hour for an entire day.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. And now here in San Diego, we're down here in Southern California, we're facing record winds. We're facing record high temperatures. I mean, today it was hot as hell. That's why I went to the beach. I just couldn't take it anymore. I know I was facing radiation, but I just couldn't take it anymore. It's too hot.
You're not. Did you go in the water?
Just slightly, just with my feet.
Well, it's not, dude. Don't worry about it, man. As long as you're not eating sushi with lesions on it all day.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. We have hurt the planet. And the climate is going to backlash because it's going to try to fix itself. And it sees us probably as the parasite that's causing all these problems. And guess what? We're probably going to be the first on the list.
Enough of us will make it, though. That's the thing. You know, the people that they've been preparing for all this forever, that's why they're going to go underground. So it sounds silly, but somebody always was like, get over 5,000 feet and then buy something with a bunker and you're going to make it too. That's all they're going to do. They're going to get up high over any kind of pole flip that'll cause some kind of tidal wave, and then they'll get underground for when we don't have we're not going to have any electromagnetic shielding for like 3 days. So everything that's on the surface is going to get hit with mad radiation. You want to be underground for like 3 days. This has always been the prevailing theory, is that's what to do. That's like the plan. So they're preparing for all these crazy things. Yellowstone sensors were taken offline, and then I read into it a little bit, and somebody said, well, that's because they're going to put in these new sensors that are directly going to be connected so that our national security apparatus can keep an eye on it, because it's ready to blow like a top. And it's like a 1,000-mile radius if it does. We hope it doesn't happen, but they said it's a 10-year window right now. So, like, all kinds of crazy stuff's happening worldwide.
Yeah, man. And, while we're still on this economy thing, make sure you guys check out this article. I went pretty in-depth to this stuff and tied it all back to the monetary system, bailouts, you know, how the U.S. is an oligarchy now. And it's not really surprising that we see these bailouts, considering we are an oligarchy. And when people are losing their houses like they did in 2008, 2009, of course the government's not going to bail out the homeowner. They're going to bail out the banks because we're an oligarchy. And now here's the thing. We talked on Monday about how the middle class has only grown 0.3% compared to Canada, which has grown 20% since 2000. So basically the middle class is becoming the poor, and there's almost no middle class anymore. Now check this out. The Dow reached record highs today. You know, and it's like, where is this disconnect? That China's about to surpass us as the world's largest economy. The middle class is in the gutter. Yet Wall Street is soaring to record highs. I mean, what the hell is going on?
Derivatives.
It just doesn't make any sense, man. I mean, this whole
We're winning on bets, and so is China. I mean, we're and probably Russia on a different level. They're more or less just grabbing land, which got its own value too. But these derivative markets and these gigantic behemoths of the financial world are just kicking everyone's butt. And Wall Street's it's just a behemoth. Look at it the way it is. It controls global policy through money and manipulation. And then on the other side of the world, there's the entire same equivalency in Beijing. So that's what it is. It's just two massive hubs of two wheels of the world right now.
Yeah, man. And unfortunately, the average Joe isn't really part of it. We're kind of getting left behind. And these guys that are riding these stocks, these billionaires, these hedge fund guys, the guys that are at the helm of these trusts – which are the real richest people in the world? We don't know who the real richest people are. I mean, on paper, we think it's some dude in Mexico. But in reality, it's these guys that are in control of these trusts that have been, you know, we're talking about old money, 500,000-year-old money and gold that are being managed. And no one really knows who these people are, unfortunately. So, you know, we're just getting left out. And so the thing is it's time for us as the proletariat, you know, as the poor people, to rebuild our own economy and say, you know what, you guys want to exclude us, we're excluding you, we're doing our own thing, and you know, good luck without us. You know what I mean? Good luck having – where are you going to find slaves when we all figure it out? You know, just like the caller said when he called in. We are all slaves, and it hasn't got any better. And ever since they abolished slavery, the only thing that changed is that now everybody's enslaved. Not enslaved. It's not based on race anymore. Now everybody's enslaved as long as you're poor.
Well, of course, because the War of 1812 reinstalled the central bankers. That was the peace that we made with them, because they brought a vastly superior navy and pretty much bombarded the hell out of the coast. And so we said, fine, you can bring your banks back in. Stop bombing us. They couldn't invade us, but they just kept screwing our ports up. So that's what happened, man. 1812, they came back in. 100 years later, they took out the gold. And then what? In 73, Nixon said, well, we're going to just empty out Fort Knox and fuck all y'all. Come take our shit if you want it. And that's where we're at now. Now other countries want to come take it. That's where we're at. And they think they can. And we're at the nexus point.
Yeah, man, and let's look. You know, the first heist was in World War I, and that led us into the Great Depression, where they really pulled a heist and they confiscated all the gold. And then in Vietnam, Nixon closed the gold window, which really, really sealed the deal on all the average Joe. All the rich people got real rich after that. Because they were real close to this fiat system and the creation of money. And, you know, of course, we all know that the banks were receiving money from the Fed at zero interest, loaning it to the government, and getting paid back at like 4% interest, which basically means that all the banks are on welfare paid by us. You know, it should be the other way. Shouldn't it be that the banks who make billions and billions of dollars are taking care of the poor people? But
well,
unfortunately,
they provide, I was just going to interject really quickly that they provide no more than a government really does, except on a financial sector, which is simply administration and ease of transactions and commerce. They're not supposed to be all powerful like they are now. It's that we allow the condensing of power. Power needs to be split up, and money needs to be split up, and they can't become monopolies. There can't be financial nor governmental monopolies on any section of the earth, because at some point, there becomes a group that just dominates everyone else. And if we get to that point, then it's war. And it just keeps happening over and over again. Different groups need to have their own spot on Earth while we're still here. And then when we get off, everyone can have their own planets.
Exactly, man. Exactly. Now, back into this foreign policy stuff, because, you know, foreign policy is a huge, huge problem in this country. And our foreign policy is just completely ass backwards and illogical. Apparently, there's four Saudi princesses being starved to death
right in
Saudi Arabia because they were, I don't know, doing something to help women rights or whatever, and now they're starving these women to death.
Didn't they drive or something?
Something like that. I mean, something just insane. And it's like the U.S. has this selective humanitarianism. You know, so when it's profitable or when it's politically convenient, you know, then we care about human rights. We care about women. We care about minorities and the poor and stuff. But when it's one of our allies that we get oil from, or that we that does our dirty work in the Middle East, or whatever that Saudi Arabia does, which maybe they probably do a little bit of both, then we just turn a blind eye. I mean, we just don't acknowledge it. We don't talk about it. I don't remember the last time anyone has said in the media anything bad about Saudi Arabia. They don't, because the media is controlled. I mean,
and then you can always go under the veil of, well, you know what? We need to focus on our own culture. We're not the culture police of the world. This is an ancient culture. This is what they've been doing for eons. They're older than, way older than we are. We're only 250 years old. Who are we to tell them what to do? Not only that, we depend on their black oil. So we start pissing off the royal family, and then, I don't know, even try to throw them over, insurrect them. That place would split into five other states. It would stem the flow of that oil, and then the canal would shut down. And that's why they're kept up and propped up, and anything goes, really. I mean, imagine if Saddam played ball. He did at one point, and watch the movie The Devil's Double, and you'll see what they were able to get away with, literally murder within their own country, because they were unchallenged. They were just pure tyrants, and that's how it is in the House of Saud. I mean, that seems to be the way. They're somewhat progressive in some ways, but, man, that stuff's just pretty harsh and extreme.
Yeah, man, it's just this selective humanitarianism, and whenever it's convenient, whenever we want to overthrow somebody, just like we did in Ukraine when we came out and said, hey, we got to protect the protesters, you know, and then when it became, then it, when it was the pro-Russian protesters, oh, now they're terrorists, now they're just terrorists, kill them all, we don't care. We'll back, hey, you want to kill the protesters? Okay, we'll give you as much money as you need. How much you need? $50 billion? Okay, no worries. You know, and it's just another one of these things, man, where it's just... it's just illogical. It's become so obvious now that it's that what they're anything when they try to go in and protect people and protect human rights, it's just so superficial. And I think everybody is basically seeing through it. And thankfully, these poll numbers are kind of starting to reflect it. We see it on the internet, even though Facebook's trying to censor us down. We see the growth of the movement, and people are coming over, coming around to these ideas. And now, the only way they can get us into these wars now is by false flags. And they tried to do it in Syria. Fortunately, we were smart enough to say, okay, well, come on, dude. You don't think Assad's really going to use chemical weapons right now? Especially when Obama said that we're going to bomb them if they do. You know, it was like literally a few days later when the first report came in, oh, he used a chemical weapon. No.
And who stopped us being able to go in there? What action took place? This is why Ukraine's happening right now. People need to get that Ukraine is the backlash from Syria, because they weren't able to move their chess piece there. They instead moved it somewhere else and forced Russia's hand. And Russia, in effect, lost kind of half of the territory. Now, what happened instead was, instead of there being some kind of puppet state in between, now Russia is just bigger. And now the Ukraine's cut in half, but they're a complete puppet state to the West instead. And that's just kind of strange, but that just seems to be the way that it is. Crimea is officially a Russian state, I believe, as of right now. And that, and all the major dachas and you know, beach resort type stuff that the elites have, that was all Crimea. So they just annexed it. You know, it can happen still in the modern day. It's kind of weird that that happens, but this is how the game of chess is still played, I suppose.
Yeah, man. And unfortunately, there's not much we can really do about what's going on with Russia. I mean, we can hope that they wake up, and we can try to wake the people up over there. But our real responsibility as being citizens of this country or corporation, whatever you want to call it, our responsibility is reining in our government. And let's face it, our government is the biggest tyrannical gorilla on the block.
Well, think about it. We can't get anything done over there because they don't want to listen to anybody. But we can definitely make it so that it's very unpopular to do anything here. And us becoming involved would only make things 10 times more bloody. I mean, could you imagine the hardware being moved over there probably as we speak? I mean, you're going to go from a civil type war with a lot of guerrilla warfare to out and out armor and air forces being used. So when that stuff gets involved, then that's when civilian casualties start mounting, because things are just shot and blown up and people are hit.
Yeah, man. And you know, the local Ukrainians, they're probably going to turn into insurgents once they realize how they got screwed over, not only by us, but probably by Russia as well. And whoever ends up trying to control Ukraine is going to have their own problem on their hands. They're going to be, it's going to turn into Serbia. And they're going to just have a bunch of insurgents that are just like, get the hell out of my country. And just like we have in Afghanistan, man, these people are just trying to get us the hell out. These aren't your typical terrorists. These aren't Al-Qaeda. These are just people that don't like us being there on our land, sucking dry all of their opium, sucking dry all of their lithium and all their resources, and they just want everybody out. They fought the Russians off, and now they're fighting us off. And I think Ukraine will probably do the same thing. Unfortunately, we're probably going to waste a lot of our manpower, resources, money, military resources and things like that, and so is Russia. But in the end, whoever ends up in control is just going to have another problem on their hands. And the problem isn't with the government isn't going to have the problem, because the government benefits from all these insurgents, because then they get to keep on spending in their military-industrial complex. The problem falls to us, the guys that actually end up having to pay for all this shit.
Well, everybody's paying for it. I mean... Everybody is. The Black Ops budget is enormous. It's doing horrible social damage to the entire world. And you have to think that it's all tied in, too. The poppy seeds are paying for all these illicit wars for us to fight against an enemy that keeps changing. We never know why we're fighting anyone and for what. And it's always for these botched, like you said, false flags. So nobody knows what the hell is going on, who does what, and it's one tragedy to the next. And it's just psyops on everyone from who?
Oh man, it's just such a big task, and you know, the only way forward is by doing what we're doing. Everybody out there listening, keep doing what you're doing. Change it. Start the revolution in your own living room, in your own garden, in your own roof with your solar panels or whatever. And slowly but surely, we defund the beast. People are coming around to it. We're at the halfway point where half the people are just done with it. And sooner or later, this whole thing will have to come crashing down. And people think that, a dollar crisis is going to be bad for everybody, and the economic collapse is going to be bad for everybody. Yeah, it'll be bad for a little while. But in the end, once we realize how much we were being stolen from by these a-holes at the top, things are going to be a lot better. I mean, if we're able to take the economy back into a decentralized, democratized economy, if we're able to get back to that point, dude, we're going to have the golden years of this country, the best years that this country has ever had.
Well, we can have free energy, and we can be completely off of the fossil fuel grid tomorrow if the people really all opened up a science textbook that would tell them the true power of what the world has to offer from an electromagnetic spectrum, and how Tesla could pretty much more or less show that there was proof that ancient Egyptians had electricity, and it was all wireless. All it needed to do was have certain conductors, certain wires twisted together that could be turned off and on with breakers. It was pretty simple to see that there's an unlimited electrical field around us right now that can be tapped into that could power cars. I mean, more or less anything but things that flew that needed that massive power that oil can provide, everything else could be electrified. And we could be completely free of those giants. And just make it completely free since it's powered by solar. The investment may be enormous, but next generation will have a completely unserfdom life.
Yeah, man. And judging by our fans and realizing that a lot of our fans and followers have kids, and I think that's what is really flipping the switch for a lot of people. I know you and me don't have kids yet, but a lot of the people I know that are involved in this march against Monsanto that are fans of the anti-media and stuff are young parents, and they have kids, and then once they have a kid, they realize, or like this guy that came and interviewed me for this documentary the other day, his girlfriend or his wife is pregnant, and then it hit him. He realized, he's like, damn, dude, I'm about to have a kid, and this world is so screwed up, I got to get involved, and believe me, these people are going to teach their kids the right way. And a lot of them aren't going to send them to these government re-education camps, also known as public schooling. I mean,
and let's be honest, if your friends are like mine with their children, these kids are growing up and becoming very smart. And I believe there's something environmental, perhaps it's even to do with the solar cycle, where kids are just, they're advancing quickly. And I have hope. This next generation doesn't buy the bullshit anymore because they had access to the internet. And then all these older kids now are starting to say, they're trying to take away the internet. with SOPA, and now they're trying to kill net neutrality. They want to make it so that if I have AT&T, I can't go to HBO, and then I can't go to all these other websites. And kids know what the hell's up, and I'm like, what the? Because they know, because that's their entertainment. They don't want to get deprived of the world from their worldview just because of some corporate assholes.
Yeah, man. I have a lot of hope. If we don't, if it doesn't happen in our time in the next 5 years, I know it's going to be the next generation that's going to really make this thing pop.
No, and it has to be the next five. But those ones that are the little kids now make the next wave. Really, there's nothing they can do except some ridiculous sci-fi tech to reprogram everybody on a worldwide scale, because it's already too much. The tsunami wave already began when people started to realize what bullshit this world was in 2008 bailout, and then the Zeitgeist movie came out. And there's a whole bunch of guys my age and younger than me, and they're all having kids, and they all know the gig is up. The older generation, the lazy generation, the baby boomers that don't buy computers and don't get on the new information train are the only ones propping up the current paradigm. They just keep voting and buying in and paying taxes and going to work and not starting their own companies that they don't understand these Fortune 500 companies are bullshit.
a lot of the people that are over 40, unfortunately, there's not much hope. Now, I know a lot of people over 40 that are activists with me, and they know what the hell is going on, because a lot of these guys were, you know, activists back in the day during the 60s and stuff. But, you know, all the baby boomers, all these guys, let's face it, they grew up with TV. They are completely and utterly brainwashed. So I honestly don't think it's worth the time and trouble trying to focus on these people.
But they're all the CEOs now. That's what sucks. And they're all the people in power and positions to change things. And they could make social change, but they're so comfortable in the status quo, they don't understand what's going on. They don't get there's an environmental global change that's happening that they're pretty much covering up with all the shit in the air they're spraying. People don't even get it, that they're more or less stemming off what's happening everywhere else in the world, which is massive crop loss and massive hyperinflation. We're just being kind of, you know, held in this bubble for a while. It can't last forever. And who knows what it's doing to us long term, to our health. And it's ridiculous. People need to get that. And people with kids know that already. They know it.
Yeah, man. And, you know, what they're doing now with these children, and we've seen these rates of ADHD and all this stuff, ADD, all this stuff is just because of the culture. I mean, the way that the culture is, I mean, you got to go to your school. These kids got to go to school. And then if they act out at all, then guess what? They're slamming them on these drugs. I mean, oh, your kid has ADD. Throw them on this Ritalin real quick. I mean, this stuff is basically meth. And they're throwing it on these kids because meth supposedly, if you're hyperactive, it'll calm you down. It doesn't make any sense.
But the parental backlash is starting, and these lawsuits are starting. And these people are not going to allow their kids to become guinea pigs to statist society that more or less doesn't really – it holds no one accountable and gives a psychiatrist all the power in the world to dictate based on what's a pseudoscience. I mean, does anybody really want to hand – over their future in life to the teachings of Sigmund Freud and the like?
No, thanks.
We don't. We want to live in the real world. We understand that helps us with a lot of things like mental illness and things like that. And there's lots of sick people. Trust me, I know that. But for most of us normal people, we just need to be left the fuck alone.
Two of my brothers, they tried to slam them on these drugs, man, because they tried to say they had ADD. And fortunately, my brothers were smart enough to spit the pills out. And my mom eventually realized, okay, well, yeah, no, these pills aren't working. This stuff is all BS. And now we've realized that everybody's normal and none of these people are hyperactive. None of them have ADD. I mean,
I was on Ritalin from 7 to 13. Yeah, I don't know what the hell that did to me.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, who knows the long-term implications? Now we got.
I think I was at 800 milligrams. I looked that up, and that's not a light dose for a kid. And that is cocaine.
Yeah.
I was wired. I was wired.
It's ridiculous, man. Now we got this new Harvard study, and this is going to be on the Anti-Media tomorrow morning. And it comes out of Harvard. Antidepressants double the risk of suicidal behavior in youth. And it's not a big surprise considering what we've seen with the troops and all these veterans that come back from these wars. They stick them on these antidepressants, and guess what? They're killing themselves in record numbers. So obviously the same thing is happening, and it's so ironic because you're putting these kids, because they're depressed and you're worried that they're going to kill themselves, you're putting them on these pills, and then the pills double their risk of suicide. How does that make any sense?
You want to know what just a paper I read about it was? This is their logic behind it. The vast majority of our soldiers that use our pharmaceuticals against the prescription pill form that says don't drink, they drink excessively, and that's what creates these problems.
Yeah,
and they know it by autopsy that these guys are heavy drinkers and use these things, and they mix them together. Now, does the general populace heavily drink? I would say, yeah. I don't think a normal Marine's any heavier of a drinker than a dude that gets off on Friday night and gets loaded, and he's on Paxil or whatever the hell else they have him on. And it combines, and they get crazy. And what if you lost your job that day, and then your girlfriend dumped you?
Yeah.
And you were broke. I mean,
not to mention powder keg. Not to mention that they're slamming these dudes on two or three or four medications at a time. And my brother, he's an Afghanistan veteran. He went over there. He the war messed him up big time, dude. I mean, he's got some mental illness now, and they've got him on pills. And apparently the pill that he's on, it makes it so that you cannot register endorphins anymore. So now in order for my brother to feel pleasure or to feel happiness and stuff like that, I mean, he has to go to extremes because the medicine that he's on blocks all those endorphins and stuff. And so now what they're trying to do is put him on another medicine. They're like, okay, well, this one blocks endorphins, so we're going to put you on this one as well, so that if you take this one with it, it'll unleash the endorphins. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it's like
what? Imagine what that would do to you. How scrambled you'd get, how many different signals are going off in your brain, and then say somebody does something that sets you off or something just happens that makes you remember something, and you get all kinds of crazy. I mean, this is just – you can't do it. These guys aren't going to stop drinking, so you know the only real way we're going to be able to help these soldiers is the natural way. We're probably going to have to go with a combination of marijuana to get them, you know, some mental comfort, and then they'll have to use the – mushrooms for the PTSD,
and then get them out in nature. Get them out in the garden.
Well,
I mean,
they're not going to stop drinking. These dudes are not going to stop drinking. Are you crazy? You think they're just going to go somewhere and be like all strung out on these pharmaceuticals and not drink?
Yeah, and now here's
insane.
Here's the other thing: the medicines that my brother is on, it if he smokes marijuana while he's on these meds, it makes a big problem. You know, so I think they're purposely designing these medications to where, okay, throw these guys on these, but if they smoke weed, I mean, you know, it's over. Hey, we got a caller on. Hey, you're on the Anti-Media Radio. How's it going?
Hey, what's up? It's Cassius.
Hey, how you doing, bro? Hey, Cassius Methel. He's one of our journalists on the Anti-Media, man. What's up? What do you want to talk about?
Not much, man. I listened to what you were talking about before, and it reminded me of something I saw today. Someone said, Adam Kokesh actually said that he thinks Molly might be able to treat PTSD, but I don't think so. I think mushrooms and a complicated other series of factors. Yeah, ayahuasca. I think that could potentially treat it. But I was listening to what you were saying before. I think like a complicated range of factors are what can actually treat PTSD, you know.
Yep.
And, you know, the whole idea of using pharmaceuticals is ridiculous, and you gotta, you know, yeah, get out in nature and do things that change, you know, your mindset, not just take a pill.
Yep.
Exactly, because, you know, all the pill is doing, and I have first-hand experience, because my brother right now is dealing with the VA, and
yeah.
That's what they do. They don't really give him any treatment. They just throw the pill at him. And so it's a Band-Aid, you know.
Exactly.
It's like, okay, here's the symptom. Let's throw the pill at it to try to like numb his brain out so that he doesn't feel that symptom anymore.
He needs to talk to other vets, dude. Why is he not talking to therapists that were vets, yeah. that were Vietnam vets, that were in a brutal ass war too, and like that have that degree, that PhD they got through the freaking GI Bill. Why aren't these guys getting treated in that way too?
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. That's what we're trying to get him into, but as a military guy being through that situation at boot camp, I mean, you got to think about the macho thing too. So these yeah. guys have this macho attitude. They don't want to go and talk about their problems in front of other people.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
It's killing them inside, then they need
definitely
to.
Definitely true.
Exactly. A lot of these guys think that the manlier way out is to just blow your brains out rather than go down and actually talk to people. And we got to change that whole attitude if we're really going to try to get down to the root of this problem.
It just takes a lot of people visibly and noticeably having the courage to create a new paradigm, you know, with just with their actions and, you know, just doing what they will do. I think there should be like a realm of independent therapy, but the government requires things like licenses and all these ridiculous things that people have to meet as requirements to monopolize those fields. So I think there should be, you know, like independent therapists and people that, you know, think like us and can just, you know, I think that the solution to a lot of these problems in society is just creating alternatives, and there should be no ridiculous, nonsensical requirements for creating that alternative, like licenses and requirements and blah, 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 you know?
Yeah, exactly, man.
Well, it's like a fishing license. What is that? Are you going to use that to restock? Are you going to use the money to restock the fish? Because it's always an arbitrary $10. That's not going to do anything. So someone's just pocketing that somewhere.
It's just capitalizing off you know? Something that someone needs to get, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's
arbitrary. Anything they can do or exploit, they will.
Oh, yeah. Now, especially with this whole idea of taxing interstates, and every time you change state, you're going to have to pay a toll to get through to the other state. And they want to they want to get paid off of these states because they know states' rights are going to start becoming so prevalent soon with the backlash when the economy does collapse that they want to keep people in their own states to try to control them better.
The more ridiculous things they do, like the more fees they make people pay, the more obvious it becomes to everyone with any, you know, sense of critical thinking that they're just capitalizing off of it. I think it's almost beneficial for the paradigm shift for these things to happen that are so ludicrous that it really makes people that are, like, not even thinking about these things be like, what?
Yep. It's going to make all these people basically come out into the light, and we're going to have to deal with them, and it's going to be awful. I know it will, but we just got to do it. It's like everybody's ever said, there is a paradigm shift. We've already had so many ages where different advanced civilizations destroyed themselves. Are we going to do that, or are we going to be able to boot these dudes out and take it back?
I think as long as they don't do some kind of extremely dramatic, psychopathic thing like, you know, put us all in camps or like attempt some shit like that. I don't know about that. Like, that's a really complicated situation, but yeah, unless they do some kind of, yeah.
Yeah. We just want to, what we all pray for every day is a natural organic evolution into something better than this. And realize that we're going to stretch some resources thin. We got to realize we got to go back to these micro communities surrounded by farms. We got to do it. We got to get solar powered. We can't expect to be able to, you can't expect to be able to go on plane rides everywhere and be going to Vegas and shit. It just can't fly anymore.
Yeah.
But we can still have bomb lives.
Like...
Trust me.
Hey, Cassius. Yeah. You wrote an article yesterday on the 1 year anniversary of this douchebag judge that was selling these. They were selling these kids into the prison system, and we wrote an article about it yesterday to commemorate the 1 year anniversary. Try to make sure that this atrocity doesn't die off into the interwebs. You want to
look into, yeah.
Yeah, man. You want to talk about that real quick and just give us some insight about what was going on and, you know, what do you think we can do to try to prevent this stuff in the future?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I think that people that are, you know, not necessarily in any way involved with working for the justice system, people that are citizens and, you know, people that just critically think and want things to be the way that they should be, should look into, you know, the relationship between judges and officials and private prison officials and I mean, the whole thing is built so that fundamentally, you know, no matter what, there's, you know, there's just, what's the word, you know, it's just the corruption.
The conflict of interest.
They're incentivized. They're incentivized to, you know, sentence kids and anyone to higher sentences. So as long as they have the incentive to do that and they can profit off of that, there's never going to be justice. And it may happen subtly. You know, there might be deals where the people that are involved with the private prison officials, the judges, don't even have any, you know, any kind of public contact with them. But somehow it has to be investigated. And I think people just recognizing that this is a problem and that fundamentally it's bound to happen, there's going to be some change, you know, if we put effort into it.
And, you know, back to this PTSD thing, because we put a video in that article as well. You guys can find that article on the anti-media as well. It's about the judge selling these kids into the prison system. But there was a kid that this judge had sentenced, and he was an all-star high school wrestler, a great kid. He gets slammed into this prison. He comes out, and I'm guessing he probably had PTSD from all the traumatic whatever happened inside. And then the kid ends up killing himself, man. And then the mother, mother was there after the guy got sentenced outside the court, and the mother is just going off on this guy, and she's like, "You killed my son, you scumbag! I hope you rot in hell." You know, and it's kind of the same thing, man. We're institutionalized. I mean, we've all heard about being institutionalized. Now, we all probably have family and friends that have been to jail, and I know with my experience, my family has been in jail. They go back. And they go back and they go back and they go back again because they become institutionalized. They get PTSD. They end up not knowing how to handle things. I mean, it's just a messed up situation, and it's regressive. The poor people get slammed in the prison. The rich people hire good lawyers and they get out.
They get out on affluenza.
Like that one Rothschild. No, not Rothschild. The DuPont.
Oh,
that,
he got off too with affluenza though.
Oh,
for raping his own daughter.
That was a messed up instance. Yeah, he raped his own daughter and got off with probation.
2 years.
That is, like, such a vast contrast to, you know, people that get, you know, like, life sentences for the third time doing the same offense, stealing some food from Walmart or something. That happened in Texas. Man, such a stark contrast.
Yeah, man, and you know, it all goes back. It kind of goes back to this whole thing about how China is surpassing our economy as well. All this, everything that's going on, the monetary system, the justice system, the taxes, how Obama has said that he's not going to rule out taxing the highways and putting toll roads in. It's all regressive. When you're going through a toll road, if you're rich, you don't give a damn. If you're poor, that could be the $2 that bought your lunch. I mean, so all this stuff is
regressive. They don't want you moving around either if you're not wealthy. They want you stuck in a state, man. And then they go state by state as they break down everything and they RFID all the dumb states first because all the people are like, I'll sign up for free benefits. And that's how it'll start.
I think that everything just has to be looked at from the perspective that the person that makes the law and the people that conspire to make the system the way it is have most definitely more than one intention with what they do and what they enforce. And there's bound to be several different intentions and, you know, things that happen based on what they put into law. So thinking about the consequences of these things is essential, especially ways that you don't expect the law to actually have, you know, the effects that are spoken of the law. Like the entire institutionalized mind state that you get from the collection of all these laws and taxes and the way that people are treated, you know. There's a subconscious thing that, you know, a mental state that's acquired from all that.
Definitely. It's like it's a chilling effect, you know. It makes everybody, you know, double think, you know. It makes everybody say, oh, well, I can't think too far outside the box because if I think too far outside the box, it's probably illegal and I'll probably go to jail for it, you know. And that's the thing. The other thing about the drug war, not only is it regressive, not only is it racist and it targets the minorities, but look, we're locking up all the thinkers. We're locking up all the people that think outside the box, the people that are willing to break the rules, the people that are willing to take the risk.
Absolutely.
You know, and all these conservatives are like, oh, yeah, well, the businessman, you know, they're the risk takers and the entrepreneur. Well, then why are you locking them all up in prison? Why are you throwing them all in prison just because they're selling drugs that aren't being monopolized by Big Pharma. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. They're killing off the sense of entrepreneurship. They're killing off the small businessman that squeezed out of the regular economy because of the barrier of entry. And because it's hard enough to start a business in this country with all the laws and licenses and all this stuff that you got to do, nobody wants to deal with that. So they turn to the black market because it's a lot lower barrier of entry and it's a lot easier to get in. But yeah, these people are still businessmen. They're still entrepreneurs. They're still people that think outside the box. Yet if they do it, they end up in prison. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, they're killing the country, and they're killing all the thinkers. They're killing all the people that are minorities that don't have the money that are geniuses.
And that brain drain you were talking about, Nick, starting now, because people are starting to divest their money out of this country. And I'll say for myself, like it's something you got to look into. You have to. I know it's uncomfortable to think that way, but I mean, what if something were to happen?
What's the solution? It's the only solution, really. I mean, our dependence on all of this clearly is the thing that makes them so successful. The people that control this, say, getting away with what they're getting away with. But the audacity of what they're doing lately, the police, the restrictions, the tolls, everything, you know, as a whole, it's getting so audacious that more and more people are waking up. And it's just amazing me every day, like, how many people outside of this small collective of people that originally woke up that are waking up now. It's just surpassing all boundaries and, you know, type of people there are. Not that I really generalize, but, you know what I mean? It's just spreading out really far, and it's a really – we have a strong common denominator, us, all the people that are getting – that are at the butt of this, you know?
Yeah, man, and it's like what you were saying at the beginning when you first called in is like – the worse off things get, the more the government does these idiotic things. In a way, it's kind of better for our movement, because then the middle class gets hit. Then the middle class finally has to tighten their belt, and they're like, oh, damn, these guys weren't joking. The economy really is in dire straits, even though the media says that it's fixed.
And I have a friend like that he, you know, he makes like 50 a year, and he's college educated, and he's got what he thought was a good job, but he's like, dude, my 50 a year doesn't mean dick anymore. And he's like, fuck this fucking government. And this is a guy that's a Democrat who voted twice for Obama. He believes in it, man. He believes in the liberal doctrine, but he understands now that you always need to have a blend. And when one side starts to dominate and take its way over, we understand what it is. It's simply a power grab for the elite. One way or another, it doesn't matter if it's either the liberal agenda where it's giving people rights by the gun, or if it's Republican, which is corporatism. It doesn't matter. Either way, you're screwed one way or another.
Yep. And clearly, those two sides, you know, are just, I mean, so redundantly, consistently proven to not help anybody but themselves. Whoever doesn't get it at this point, I don't even know. I mean, I assume they've stumbled across the information. I don't know. It takes a lot of, I guess, stubbornness just to not get it or pretend to not get it now.
Just to make a finish our quick rundown of the news here, we got this racism flaring up in the media. We got the Bundy Ranch guy accused of racism, which I don't know which way to fall on this, but in the end, it's not
forget
good.
About Donald Sterling, though.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk about him, too. In the end, I still stand with Bundy when it comes to what, you know, the whole situation. I just think the guy is not a guy that we want to have running, you know, at the forefront of the movement, because he's just so unintelligent for him to make these kind of remarks. Whether he's racist or he's just bumbling, doesn't really matter.
I think they took advantage of him and made him a big figure because he badly represents this movement and what's going on. And I mean, these militiamen, God, did you hear about that?
Yeah, they're not. These are the extreme guys that are going to pull the guys that just want to have a regular freaking life and be able to protect ourselves from all the nuts out there into the fold as being labeled with these guys. Now, do we need militias? Yeah, but militias need to be organized at a state level with our government at a state level, and we can control things here with our militias. But we can't just do things willy nilly.
The whole like thing about militias is hella complicated. But what I read recently was that these militias apparently were stopping people and creating their own checkpoints to ask them if they had proof of residence. I don't know if this is... Oh.